just declare that you are great. You are greatly to be praised, oh God. Lord, above all else, above all circumstances, above all situations that we face, God, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord, and we declare your praises in this place, oh God. We make known your name, oh God, in this place, and in this church, in this city. God, we just declare the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. Everything else must bow before the name of Jesus. Everything, everyone, every knee will bow and confess, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Lord, today we decide to do that right now. We decide to confess you as Lord right now. We decide to bow our knee to King Jesus right now. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are in control of our lives. We worship and adore you in this place, oh God. Would you have your way? Would you speak into our lives, God, as we are getting into this sermon and we are speaking about broken hearts? God, I believe that you are here to mend the broken hearts, Lord, today. You are here to mend our brokenness. And God, it is not through my words, but Lord, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit and your words, oh God, that are dwelling in me. But God, it is not me, Lord, it is all you. It is your ability, Lord, to change our hearts and to mend our brokenness. So Lord, we invite you into this place. We invite you into our hearts to come and do what only you can do, Lord Jesus. We surrender. We surrender our pains, our brokenness, Lord, into your hands, knowing that you are a loving and caring shepherd, that you love your sheep. You care for us. And you said that we can cast our burdens upon you because you care for us. So, Lord, we decide to do that this morning. All of our brokenness, we give it into your hands, O Lord. We ask that you would come and that you would heal. That you would come and that you would bring freedom into our lives. That you would come and that you would restore in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And let the church of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't he good, church? Isn't he good? If we can get those lights turned on a bit, that would be greatly appreciated. Awesome. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. So many of you have been in and out with quarantine, and it's just been a crazy season. But how many know that the Lord is still good and that the Lord is still on the throne? His mercy still endures forever and ever and ever. And where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in our very midst. And how many guys look around? There's more than two or three in this place. So he is here. Amen. Here. And so we are excited about this new series. We are excited about prayer and praise this evening. Come and be a part. Come and allow God to speak into your life. There's nothing like spending 3 or 4 hours of prayer just alone with God if you want to do that. I mean, it is, God will speak to you in such an incredible way. But we do invite you to our service tonight, our prayer service. Without further ado, we're going to get into our series, our sermon this morning. We have been in the Matters of the Heart series, and we talked about loving yourself was the first part of this, loving yourself. And because really the Lord commands us to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. But then the second command is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so how can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? And so we talked about the importance of loving yourself in a healthy way, in a Christ-ordered way, and not overdoing it. Sometimes we really love ourselves, right? But that's not what God's calling us to. Then next, we talked about last week, we talked about loving others well. And hopefully you took up this challenge to love someone else well, maybe to get out of your comfort zone and to demonstrate the love of Christ to someone who is needing love. And today we want to talk about what to do with a broken heart. What to do with a broken heart. How many guys ever had your heart broken before? Yeah. How many guys ever had your heart broken because of a relationship before? How many guys have ever had your heart broken because of a loss in your family or a loss of a friend? Yeah. We've all experienced heartbreak one level or another. You guys, many of you know my story. I've been married once before. And so, you know, like 2 years, you know, we were engaged for 2 years. And then, like, I'm a builder. I'm a designer. So I had built, like, this truss and everything, like these archways for the wedding. I did, like, these engravings and different things. I went all out, really, because this is, like, you know, the first time I got married. And so, like, on my wedding day, you know, after we're married and everything, She looks at me and tells me that she was content being single. This was like, we were in the limousine headed to our honeymoon, and she tells me, I was content being single. I'm like, are you serious? Because you could have told me this, like, you know, a long time ago, like 2 years ago. You know, before we actually got into this relationship, I was heartbroken. It was hard because I was really the first person that, you know, that I cared for. And so, anyway, I was heartbroken. What to do with a broken heart? We've all been there. We've all experienced heartbreak in our life. I didn't even know that God, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our heartbrokenness, and that he bears our grief and he carries our sorrows. It is the Lord Jesus. It is only through his grace and his strength that I was able to get through that difficult situation in my life and that difficult time in my life. What to do with the broken heart? Today we're going to look at two individuals. They were disciples of Jesus, but they were not a part of the original 12 disciples. And so there were many followers of Jesus. And so as we know, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? And one of them named Judas decided that he was going to betray Jesus. And so now we're down to 11. He winds up killing himself. He hangs himself because he felt so guilty because he betrayed the Son of God. So now we're down to 11 disciples. But now we're looking at two other men in this particular story. This is after the crucifixion of Jesus, after he was brutally murdered, after he was spit upon and mocked. After this, Jesus decides to show himself. You know, he is resurrected and he wants to show himself to his disciples. And guess who is the first person or the first group of people that Jesus shows himself to? It was a group of women. It was a group of women who Jesus showed himself to, because I believe sometimes us men, we are hard-hearted, and women are more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus shows himself, first of all, to women. And they had the challenge to go and tell the other disciples, the other 11 disciples, that Jesus has indeed risen. Now, guess what? The disciples refuse to believe it. They're like, yeah, right. You know, they hear these group of women telling Jesus, they saying, look, Jesus has resurrected. He is no longer in the grave. He is resurrected. And the disciples are like, yeah, right. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So Jesus does this. He says, well, I'm going to show myself to two other disciples. And we're going to look at those two other disciples. They were followers, again, but they were not part of the 11. So we're in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 27, and it says this. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And so we mentioned last week about Jerusalem, how it was on this hill. And so we're talking about 7 miles away from that, and that's a pretty long distance. And we find that they were talking about these things. What things were they talking about? The things that Jesus did while he was on the earth. You know, I'm sure they talked about, man, you remember how Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus? You remember how he raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you remember how he set free that demoniac, that man who cut himself with rocks and was possessed by devils? Do you remember? And they were reflecting on the goodness of Jesus. But then it led them to some heartbreak, because it made them realize that it was their religious leaders who had crucified Jesus. It was their people who they believed in, that their spiritual leaders whom they had trusted for their spiritual well-being, it was they who had crucified Jesus, who had killed the Son of God. So there was some heartbrokenness with these two individuals. Verse 15 says this. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, let's not overlook this. Because how many times, or maybe we're not aware of, but when we experience heartbreak, whenever we experience difficulties in our life, our Savior, Jesus, is already drawing near. He is already coming near to your circumstance. He is already coming near to your situation. He is already making his approach to you. But yet sometimes our eyes are so blinded by our circumstance that we can't even see that Jesus is right in front of us. Let's look at the next verse, and that's exactly what happens. It says, But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They're walking with the Son of God. Jesus came near to them during their heartache, during their heartbreak, during their time of difficulty, yet they could not see that he was right there in front of them. Because a lot of times we get in heartbreak, and it's okay to experience heartbreak. You know, Jesus was saddened whenever he heard that Lazarus died. It says that Jesus wept. Jesus was infuriated whenever he seen that they were selling sacrifices in the temple, and he was adamant about that. And so he experienced heartbreak. But the thing about it is that there are seasons for heartbreak. There are seasons to experience grief. There are seasons to experience sorrow. But joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. We're not to wallow in our sorrow, if you will. Because a lot of times that's what happens. Heartbreak will blind us from the fact that Jesus is standing right in front of us, ready to heal us, ready to restore us, but we're just so heartbroken we can't even see it. We magnify the problem rather than the problem solver. We magnify our situation, and we lose hope, we lose expectation that Jesus can move on our behalf. Look at verse 17, it says, "And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Now, Jesus doesn't not only draw near to them during their difficulty, during their time of difficulty. He not only goes with them along the way, he walks with them. But then he begins to reprove their conversation. He says, "What is this thing? What is this conversation that you are having with each other?" In other words, what is all this doom, gloom, despair, and agony on me? Why are you having this conversation? How many times are we snared by the words of our mouth? And you know, freedom is standing right there, but yet we rather speak doom and gloom over our lives. We say, "Oh, woe is me. Oh, everything is falling apart, and I can't see the end of it." And I don't know why I had a country accent, but anyway, we're going with it. And so we say, "Oh, woe is me," and our conversation ensnares us to even further heartbreak. And Jesus, the first thing that he does is reprimands them for the conversation. What is this conversation that you are having? Why are you speaking doom and gloom? Have you not believed in the words that I spoke to you, that while I was on the earth, I told you that the Son of Man will die and he will suffer, but on the third day he will rise again? Did you not believe in my promises? Did you not believe in me? I spoke this to you, and yet you did not believe. So then we jump into this. Verse 18, it says, "Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?'" So Jesus has a sense of humor, if you will, right? And so Cleopas is believed to be Joseph's brother. So this would be kind of like Jesus' step-uncle or something like that. So we can call him Uncle Cleo if we want to. Uncle Cleo and his friend are too blind to see that Jesus is the Messiah and standing right in front of them. They're too blind. They're too overwhelmed with their heartbrokenness to realize this. But then they question Jesus. They said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem that has not heard what has happened to Jesus?" And Jesus is like, "Ah, I didn't hear." You know, but he knew. He knew exactly what happened. He experienced it, right? But Jesus is a loving and compassionate Savior, that he will listen to us, that he will hear your heartbrokenness. He will hear you. He will allow you to pour out your heart to him and just to express the reason for your brokenness. He allows you to do that. He is such a loving Savior. He is kind and he is compassionate. And it says, "And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who is a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things has happened.'" So Uncle Cleo and his friend, his partner, they've witnessed some things in their life. They witnessed Jesus do some incredible things in their life. And they were hoping that Jesus was the Messiah that they had anticipated, because the Jews were believing that there would be a Messiah that would come and deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman government. And they had believed that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But then he was betrayed. Then he was taken away. Then he was brutally beaten and mocked and spit upon and put upon a cross and crucified and died. He wasn't supposed to die. It wasn't supposed to be like this. At least that's what they were thinking. What happens whenever things are not supposed to be like this? It wasn't supposed to be like this. You're believing for your family. You believe in the promises of Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But your kids are the furthest thing from serving the Lord, and your spouse has no interest either. You believe in the promises of Psalms 37, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Yet you're still single. What's supposed to be like this? Psalms 33:3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. You're affected by the virus and you're affected by other health complications. It wasn't supposed to be like this. What about Genesis 2:24? You believe in these promises. Therefore shall a man and leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And you look at your marriage, and that's the furthest thing from oneness. It wasn't supposed to be like this. What about Psalms 23, verse 4? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You would go through death. We experience death in our families, and wasn't supposed to be like this. They're supposed to be here. They're supposed to see their grandkids. They're supposed to see their great-grandkids. Wasn't supposed to be like this. What do you do with heartbreak? Let's think about this. These are promises of the Word of God. So there's two things that either need to happen. Do we rewrite God's Word to reflect our lives? Do you say, well, according to my life, my house is not serving the Lord? Do we rewrite God's word to fit our lives? Or do we allow God to rewrite our lives to line up with his word? Do we allow God to rewrite our lives to line up with his word? Do we believe that God's word is truth and amen? Do we believe that God's word, whenever he speaks it, it will happen? And that we may not see it at the moment. It may be heartbreak right now, but joy is coming in the morning. And that we can trust and believe in the promises of God. It won't always be like this. Yes, you will experience heartbreak in this life. That's what Jesus said. He gave you a promise. You will experience heartbreak in this life. But he also said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You can stand on the promises of God because he's walking with you. You can experience heartbreak in this life because he is walking with you. He's not going to leave you and he won't forsake you. What about these two men in this story? Were they going to allow their sadness? It says that they were extremely sad. They were sorrowful. They even felt betrayed by their religious leaders. Were they going to allow their heartbrokenness to keep them blinded from the fact that the giver of life was standing right in front of them, ready to come and give them life, ready to speak into their life? Or were they going to believe the promises of God? Obviously, they realized that Jesus was supposed to rise on the third day, because they made mention of it in the scriptures. And it's the third day right now, and it seems like even that promise is not fulfilled. And so at this point, even though Jesus is standing right in front of them, they are still blinded. Let's continue reading. In verse 22, it says, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. Look what Jesus begins to address. He begins to address their unbelief. Their unbelief. Your unbelief will keep you in heartbrokenness. Your unbelief that Jesus is a good God and that he cares for you and he intends good for you. Your unbelief will keep you and prevent you from experiencing the freedom that God is wanting you to have. It is your is unbelief. Look at it in verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so Jesus has given them a breakdown. He's like, look, I'm gonna reveal to you why the Son of Man had to come, why he had to suffer, why he had to die. It was for your benefit. It was for so that you can be healed, so that you can be saved, so that you can be forgiven of your sins. And Jesus begins to break down the scriptures to them from the Old Testament and saying, look, you have not believed the Old Testament prophets. You have not believed the Word of God. You have not believe the promises of God. Let's continue looking at it in verse 28. It says, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and he was at the table with them. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? So we see such a marvelous transformation that happens in these young men, these two individuals. Whereas before, they were so downstruck and so downcast and so heartbroken because Jesus was taken from them. But as Jesus began to break bread, he reveals himself to them, and they are excited. Their joy is renewed. Their heartbrokenness is no more. I just want to point out four things that I see in this particular passage that I believe will help us to overcome heartbreak. Now, ultimately, Jesus is the one who heals our heartbrokenness. But I also see some steps that these guys have taken along the way to help the process, if you will. So let's look at it. The first thing is that they got off the road and they invited Jesus into their home. In other words, they got into a more private setting. They got intimate with Christ. They got alone with Christ. How many of you guys know that we often are busy and we have busy lives and we're on this busy road and we don't have any time for Christ? And that's whenever heartache really begins to have its full effect on us. But we need to get off the road of busyness, allow Christ to come inside of our life and spend some alone time with him. It is there that he will reveal himself to you. It is there that he will speak words to you. Remember whenever the disciples, they were in a boat and they were frantic because of the waves and the wind and everything that was going on, and they thought they were going to die, and they said, Master, don't you care that we're about to perish? And Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind, he rebukes the waves, and says, peace be still, and that wind just dies down. Jesus alone has the power to speak into your life and to calm those winds and to calm those raging seas in your life. He alone can heal your heartbreak. He is like the good shepherd that speaks and comforts that distressed sheep and says, it's going to be all right. We need to carve some time and get off the road of busyness and be in a more private setting with Christ and allow him to speak into our lives. The next thing that we see in this particular passage is that Jesus broke bread with them. He broke bread. Now, the last time that Jesus broke bread with them was right before he suffered, right before he was crucified on the cross. And he said, look, this, I'm breaking bread to show you what will happen to me, that my body will be broken for you, just as this bread is broken. And we find that in Luke 22, 14 to 16. It says, and when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus. And so now we see him in chapter 24 where he is breaking bread with his disciples. And immediately they recognize this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And it reminded them of why Jesus came. It was for them. It was for their benefit. And in fact, we find this in Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. He has borne your griefs. You're grieving in your heart over a loss. He has borne your griefs, and he has carried your sorrows. Your sorrows, whatever sorrows you may have, he has carried them. He has borne them. Everything he did on the cross was for your benefit. And whenever we are in that intimate setting with Christ, he makes that known. I did this for you. I did this so that you can be healed. I did this so that I was crushed so that you don't have to be. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. We are healed. As he broke the bread, they were healed. Their eyes were open. Their heartbreak was gone. They were healed. Jesus, we need to see Jesus. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us. And it is through his suffering that we find our freedom. We find our freedom through his suffering. Amen. Through what he did on the cross for us, we find our freedom. We find our healing from heartbreak through his suffering. He suffered so that you don't have to. Verse 33, it says, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Now this, I believe, is another important aspect of bringing healing to a broken heart. It says that they found the 11. The 11 what? Disciples. The 11 believers in Christ. The 11 brothers. The 11. It is good for brethren and sisters to come together in the house of the Lord, because that is where we find healing. There is something that I can't even explain that happens whenever brothers and sisters come together. You're going through heartbrokenness. You're going through a difficult time. Find yourself in the house of the Lord among other brothers and sisters in Christ, and watch that depression go. Watch that heartbreak begin to go. As the body of Christ says, I'm going to reach out to my brother or my sister who is hurting, and I'm going to be the hands and feet of Jesus and watch healing come into your life. We must come together. It is important to us. And I know it's hard with quarantine and everything else, but man, it is so powerful. It's something that can't even be explained. Whenever we come together, there is healing for your brokenness in community. Amen. I believe this. But the writer of Hebrews says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day draws near. The day, what day is drawing near? The day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's coming. Guess what? His coming is drawing near. We are to come together even more, not less. I believe that's when we find healing, you know, for our heartbrokenness. Now, in verse 34, it says this, saying the Lord has risen. So they're going back to the 11 disciples, and they're telling them everything they had seen. They said, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And so the last principle I see in this is, as we begin to tell others of the goodness of God and what God has done in our lives, that we too will find healing, and that we will find strength, and that our faith will be strengthened, our heartbrokenness will be healed. Because if you're telling others, that means that you believe it. You're not going to tell somebody something that you don't believe. If you're believing, hey, look, Jesus healed my broken heart. Jesus is healing my broken heart. Jesus is making a way. Jesus has not left me. He has not forsaken me. He will not abandon me. And you tell others about his goodness. Guess what? Something happens in your life as well, where your faith begins to grow. Your expectation begins to grow. And so that's what we see in this particular passage, how at the beginning they were reprimanded by Jesus for the conversation because they had this big pity party. Now they are like, man, Jesus has risen. They are so excited, and they're telling others what the Lord has done. Now, just to recap, we're going to go over this. You need to, first off, get off the road of busyness and find some alone time to be with Christ. That is one of the most important things that you can do, is to be in the Lord's presence and allow Him to heal you. Allow Him to speak into your life. Because, look, you are His child, and He is your shepherd, He is your father, and He is wanting to speak to you. He is wanting to comfort you. He has the words alone to breathe life, into your body. As we do this, we're going to remember what the Lord did for us. And that as He was beaten and as He was experienced suffering, it was for us. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Everything He did on the cross was for our benefit, so that we can be saved, so that we can be whole. Knowing that our freedom is found in the suffering of Christ. Amen. We're going to meet together with other believers. We're not going to isolate ourselves. It's probably the worst thing that we can do is isolate ourselves whenever we're experiencing heartbrokenness. We're meant to be together as much as we are able to. And lastly, we must tell others what God has done. It is through that personal experience. It is through your personal testimony. The Bible says that in Revelation that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. As you begin to tell others what the Lord has done for you, you begin to overcome the heartbrokenness and the heartbreak that has been overcoming you. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of His testimony, it's through Jesus. Amen. So this morning, we're going to have a time of prayer. And if you're experiencing heartbreak right now, I just want to pray for you. Perhaps whatever it may be, if you lost a loved one, we know that that's hard. It's hard when you lose a loved one. And nothing can ever replace it. And you're reminded every time that you spend Christmas and you go without that person, your heart breaks again. I want you to know that Jesus is drawing near to you. Jesus is drawing near to you. Will you open your eyes and see that He is right there and that He wants to mend your brokenness? He carries your grief. He bores your grief and carries your sorrows. Perhaps you've been in relationships that are unhealthy and you've experienced some pain even in this. The Lord wants to heal you this morning. The Lord wants you to know that He is near. He is drawing near to you. Even as whenever you first experienced that heartbreak, that He began to draw near to you. Don't allow your circumstance to blind you from receiving that which Jesus has come to bring you. Begin to allow the Holy Spirit to heal you, to mend you. To mend your broken pieces. So if that's you right now, we ask that you would just stand to your feet. You're experiencing brokenness in some kind of way. Your heart is just heavy. We just want to pray for you. Right now, Lord, we just come before You right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I lift up each and every person, Lord, who is experiencing heartbreak. We know, Lord, that You are a good Savior. That You love us. That You are drawing near to us. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes and to see that You are near. That You are walking with us, Lord, through the valley of the shadow of death. God, that You are with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. You're preparing a feast before our enemies. Lord, we just thank You for that, that Your intentions for us are good. So, Lord, we trust in Your promises. We trust in Your word. And we will believe, God, what Your word says and not what our circumstance says. We trust in You today. So, Lord, I pray that You are healing the heartbreak. You are healing the brokenness of our lives this morning in the name of Jesus. If you see someone that's standing, would you just maybe lay your hand on them or just stretch your hand towards them and just pray for them? Come on, as the body of Christ, that we are to, whenever one member of our body hurts, that the rest of our body reaches out to that member and begins to bring healing to that person. So right now, let's do some body ministry. Let's just stretch forth your hand to whomever is around you. We're just going to pray for them. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray according, let the Spirit lead you in your prayer. God, we just pray and we lift them up, encourage them, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we are the body of Christ, as we reach out to other members who are hurting, help us, Lord, to see their hurt. Help us, Lord, to grieve with them. Lord, to have compassion towards them. Lord, to wrap our arms around them, Lord Jesus. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Lord, you are with us. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Have your work. Do your work, Lord God, in this place. Heal the brokenness, Lord. Do what only you can do, Father. Place it in your hands. And God, we, as we are in fellowship with you, we realize what you have done. God, that you, the price that you paid on Calvary, you paid it for me. You paid it for me. So I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. I receive it. And I relinquish. I give you my heartbreak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If today you've been through grief or heartbreak, we're praying for you. Talk to someone in Jesus' name. We even have some books available, so if you'll just get with me after a service, just how to go through grief and to do that in a healthy way. And then also there's all kinds of places that you can go, even around town, called Grief Share, that helps you just to deal with the heartbreak.